Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, so it has most likely happened to you. There you are, you're in the midst of an amazing scenario, an amazing setting. It's beautiful, sometimes maybe not even that beautiful, but you're really, you know, you see something that catches your eye, or what you're seeing, the experience you're having catches your eye, and without even thinking about it, instantaneously you reach into your pocket, you take out your phone, and you want to capture it. You don't think, why am I capturing it, or the psychology behind capturing it. You feel like you just want to capture it. And I don't know how true it is, but there is a switch that goes off where you go from sort of, you know, being in the moment to then capturing the moment. And those two experiences are different things. This is something that Mary picked up on a recent vacation. It's inspired a piece that she's written on Medium.com called Instagram is Ruining Vacation. Mary, of course, the author of The Monopolist, which is a New York Times bestseller about the history of the board game Monopoly. So she is more than qualified, being this New York Times bestseller, to have opinions on things like capturing Instagrams. She joins us live now from New York to take us back to that day that she was, I think, on that beach, and she took this picture and then says, I didn't post what was behind me, and had this realization that inspired the piece. Mary, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm actually just taking Instagram right now of me speaking to you, so excuse me if I come across distracted.
No worries. Very meta. I'm surprised you're not periscoping. Just do a live video. Why not? Why stop there?
So do you think, and we're going to get into this piece in a second, do you think there is truth to this idea that, you know, you can't capture the moment and be in the moment, or how does it work?
Well, it's interesting because I don't really know life without being a journalist. So for a reporter, particularly a photographer, that's part of your job. It's just an impulse that people in that profession have had for so long. But what's fascinating now is I think everybody feels this way. We're all documenting the world around us, ourselves. And, you know, I think that it's about awareness, right? And I think there are some people, maybe photographers, because they've been confronted with this, professional photographers, have thought about this a little more, but I think I've been fascinated with how kind of blindly people take photographs or videos when they're out and about, and that now we have all these smartphones, we just kind of do this stuff without really thinking about whether we're in the moment or not.
I got to pick up on some of what you say in this article on Medium.com. This is a powerful statement here. I'm going to read quite a bit of it, so you'll have to indulge me. I took a breath and a sip, then raised my iPhone to the sky. 30 seconds of cropping and captioning later, I posted on Instagram an odious travel envy shot of the moment, knowing very well that most of my friends back in New York City were cold and miserable. Meanwhile, I was eating, praying, loving, and now there was a 1080 by 1080 pixel image to prove it. It sounds like a moment of pure ecstasy, but it was fraudulent. I didn't post what was behind me. And I love the idea of pretending like you are the spiritually enlightened person that is eating and praying and loving, but kind of being the absolute opposite of that and coming across in a certain way that isn't authentic and wouldn't be inspired by perhaps how you were trying to come across.
Well, and I think you use the right word, which is authentic. And I think that's what this is getting at. And we see this in social media all the time. And we can all think of people, or maybe this is us, where we post one thing online and put this outward facade out there, but inward feel very differently. And there's all this fascinating research now. And my next book that I'm working on has a lot to do with psychology, and about one of the reasons why social media makes a lot of people miserable is because we're only seeing how awesome everybody else's life looks. And you're more likely to say, you know, post about maybe a promotion or something really great that happened to you, or how wonderful your relationship is, or all that weight you've lost, rather than, you know, like, I'm sitting on my couch watching reruns or doing something lazy. So I think that Instagram picks up on that. You know, vacations, it's so funny. I was just thinking about a particular family vacation where if you looked at just the photos of my family, you would think we were having a wonderful time. But, you know, there was someone with food poisoning. There was an argument. There was a this. There was a that. So I think it's selective storytelling isn't new. I mean, that's something I think that has been going on for years and years and years and years. But I think what Instagram has done is made that so quick, so fast, so easy, and so disposable. And I think we all have to step back and remember that it is just that. It's someone's selected reality. And what I saw, and it wasn't just the scene you described in Cambodia. I saw it back home in New York. I saw it when I was in New Zealand. Everywhere I went, I saw this playing out where you look over your shoulder and it was a very different scene than what people were projecting outward about their experience.
So where does it all end up? Is there going to be a regression towards people being more open and honest and authentic? Or do you think that it's going to take us a hell of a long time to realize that maybe we didn't need filters on pictures in the first place?
That's a fascinating question. And I think we're already seeing, I think there's been a lot of reactions to it. One is you're already seeing this, this is like a pre-Instagram phenomena, but like these camps where people are leaving their cell phones or turning them off, or I think you're going to see kind of a return or a demand for kind of clarity. And you're going to see people who aren't Instagramming. And I heard from a lot of readers who said they were violently opposed to photo sharing while they were traveling, which I thought was really fascinating because there's been like the pendulum swinging the other way. But the other question I have in terms of this idea of what's actually changed and what hasn't is, you know, if this was 10 or 15 or 20 years ago and people were like at a concert, say, how many people were really paying attention to the music and how many people were kind of checked out? Yeah. Because now if you go to a concert, there's like this whole sea of people holding their smartphones up kind of like zombies or something. And so now, I mean, maybe it's clarifying that we have like an apparatus or some kind of visual cue that people maybe aren't really conscious or really thinking about things, or maybe, you know, like so I'm a little cautious too about romanticizing the past too much and this idea that everybody was super present, because I don't know if we don't really know that. And it's not like we can get into people's heads either. So I think that there is going to be I think people are going to hit a breaking point. Certain people perhaps, and say, you know, wow, I took 500 photos today, but I couldn't tell you one thing about how I actually felt when I was taking them.
You know, the one thing that a relationship expert once told me about relationships, and I have sort of, you know, kept in the back of my mind for a long time, is that, you know, getting married or having a husband or a wife or whatever it is, or a partner, a lot of that is to do with having someone who is there to document your life. And kind of make a little bit more sense of your existence. And they're there to be with you through every birthday so that you have a memory outside of your own memory of that birthday or that event. And what's interesting about, you know, Instagram, Twitter, these social media platforms is that they in their own way are also there for us to document our life and, you know, give feedback on memories that we've experienced. And it is a relationship. And I just wonder, you know, if we can take it to that extent of almost a human relationship, the relationship that we have with these different platforms that we, you know, use every single day. There's 100 million users on Snapchat that are spending, the research came out the other day, 25 to 30 minutes every single day on that platform, looking at what other people are doing and sharing what they're doing. And for some people, that's how long they spend speaking to their husband or wife in a day. So I don't know where it all goes. What do you think?
That's a fascinating point too. And I think that, you know, if you want to compare it to relationships, the question, as you were explaining that came to my mind, and I don't know the answer, is this idea of, well, what do you get back from that? If you're in a friendship or romantic relationship or familial relationship, it's a give and take, right? I mean, and there's good and bad, and it's an exchange of ideas, an exchange of experiences. So yes, you know, a spouse, like you said, is there to document your life, but you're also documenting theirs, and that it's a 50-50 thing. I think with Instagram, and you know, I think this might be different for everybody, the question is, what are you getting from it? How is that serving you? And you know, I pointed out in the piece, like, I'm not a total Luddite. Like, I love Instagram. I love that I can see photos of my cousin's kids on their first day of kindergarten. I love that, particularly now where people travel so much, that I can see, you know, my friends are enjoying their honeymoon. And I feel like of all the social media platforms I'm on, and because you can choose who you follow, right? I think that's something we haven't even talked about, this society of choice. I have somehow, you know, on the receiving end, you can taper that and make it a thing that's positive. Mm-hmm. But the question is, you still have to set those boundaries, you know?
Absolutely. Whenever somebody says to me that they're an expert in social media, I say, no, you're actually just a fool, because the thing hasn't been around for long enough for anybody to think that they know anything about it, because we don't know what the implications of this are. I always, you know, always think about the fact that I'm so glad that Facebook wasn't around when I was in school either, because I would have hated to have not, you know, not only not been invited to the party, but also see everyone enjoying it. Gravitating back towards this piece, it seems like the way that it ends, you really explore different aspects of Instagram and what one's relationship with Instagram should be. But in the end, you talk about kind of striking a bit of a balance and not completely eradicating it out of your life and being extreme, but figuring out how to make it work for you and, you know, contribute as positively as possible to your own personal context and narrative.
Exactly, exactly. And I talked to a lot of my friends about this too, both ones who have traveled with and kind of what their own experiences were. And I actually would say now I love photography. I take photos all the time. I have for years and years and years, both personally and professionally. And I feel like I find myself now in this space where I'm taking a lot of photographs and chronicling things, but I'm not sharing them. I'm not, in fact, in some cases I can be intensely personal about that. Like the idea of my life is so awesome and look at what a great time I'm having. You know, I think that that's much more palatable to me now than it has been in the past. And I catch myself now. I can feel when I see something in particular, a stunning, you know, sunset, a funny moment, maybe when you're walking around in the street, I catch myself for a minute thinking, okay, what do I really need to take a photo of this, or can I just kind of appreciate this right now? And that's a reflex I don't think I had, you know, maybe even 6 months ago, a year ago, because again, it's an extreme. And the thing that I'm also amazed with is that we haven't observed each other doing this. I mean, I love, this might sound mildly creepy, but New York on the subway, right? Like watching how people use their phones, what they're doing with them. And I always feel like I'm a big fan of science fiction. And if you plopped someone from 1950 on the subway, what would they make of this scene? And that's why, you know, I love talking to, you know, my father, my grandmother, and other, because it's a different wiring. It's a different behavioral conditioning. And so I think that that's something to keep in mind. On the balance side is just kind of where your own line is. And that's something that only you can really answer. But, and it's a work in progress, right? I mean, I think that's going to be true for all of us.
Yeah, it is an interesting one. We got to figure it out. The piece on medium.com is fantastic. It's called "The Instagram is Ruining Vacation." But it's really about how you figure out how to use it and make it work for you. Mary, what's the one big power line you want to leave the world with right now? On the 6th of May, 2016, in this context of social media and figuring out our relationship with it?
Wow, what a fabulous question. I think that you have to remember why. I would take it back to this idea of, why are you taking the photo in the first place? Are you really there, or is the acknowledgement of you being there more important? I think that's the question we all have to ask ourselves, right? And why do you need that kind of validation? And if so, what is that about? And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing all the time, but I think just kind of questioning, being aware of your behavior, is always, I think, a good thing to kind of make us better people, hopefully.
Being aware of your behavior, and then also being able to accept it and try and change it and be open to suggestion, one of the hardest things to do. We'll leave discussions around ego and so on and so forth for another day. I feel like we've made enough progress here. Mary Pilon, thank you so much for joining us live from NYC. The article is called "Instagram is Ruining Vacation." And just very quickly, this book you're working on now, when are we going to be able to get that?
Oh, fabulous question. So I'm, the draft is due. That's the part I know, is due later this year. So hopefully sometime 2017, 2018. But if you follow me on Twitter at Mary Pilon, I'm sure I will be promoting it profusely when the time comes.
Power. Mary Pilon, thank you so much.
Great. Thank you so much.
It's back. Are you Jawsy tough? Cycle through tunnels, over floating bridges, and into colossal stormwater drains. You're a machine, and nothing's going to stop you. With two separate routes, a 22K for beginners or a 54K for the tougher riders. Go where no mountain biker has gone before. On the 29th of May, ride the Hollard Juma. Brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Challenge accepted. Juma.co.za. Hillman on CliffCentral.com.